You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our latest look at the Detroit Tigers. I'm joined, as I am each week, by Jason Beck. Beck, this week on MLB.com, all of our beat writers, yourself included, are submitting their bold predictions for the remainder of the winter. It's obviously been a very quiet offseason from the Tigers' perspective, so give me a bold prediction between now and day one in Lakeland, Florida.
Well, I mean, it's not much, but you know, I think there's a there's a chance for a match between the Tigers and Austin Jackson on the reunion, which you know I'm sure isn't going to generate a whole lot of buzz outside Detroit, but which would interest Tigers fans. I mean, the setup's there. You know, they need at least a stopgap center fielder until their prospects are ready. Jackson needs a place for kind of a career rebound after losing most of last season to a torn meniscus. I think there's a chance here. As of late last week, there was nothing serious going on, but as we know in baseball, things can change as you get to this point in January and spring training gets closer and teams start having to make decisions and so do players.
Yeah, Beck, let's run through the center field options beyond Jackson. I mean, he's an obvious one. We've discussed that quite a bit on this podcast. You know, throughout this winter, it's kind of seemed like a good fit for a team, you know, looking for a budget-friendly move. But as it stands right now, Jacoby Jones, Tyler Collins, Anthony Ghost. That's the center field depth chart pretty much. And with Jones, highly touted prospect, a prospect of maybe long-term viability there, but 12 strikeouts and 28 at-bats at the end of 2016. What's the read on Jacoby Jones' readiness at this point?
Well, I think those stats show really what was going on at Triple A for most of the year, too, that there's a high strikeout rate. They really would like to see him improve on that rate of contact. They think he could use some more time down there, but if push comes to shove, they might not have a whole lot of choice. Or if he makes an impressive spring training and really makes his case, it's going to be hard to keep him down. Athleticism is in abundance with him. It kind of reminds me of Brandon Inge more than a decade ago when he was first trying to find an alternate position from after moving out from catcher when the Tigers signed Pudge Rodriguez. They had looked at Inge at center field, and if they hadn't brought back Alex Sanchez at the time, or if they had signed, you know, big-time free agent third baseman during that offseason after the 04 season, which they were trying to do, Inge might very well have ended up being a major league center fielder. I think there's a lot of similarities in Jones is that he's very athletic despite being not slight in size. He's got a power bat. There's a little bit of feast or famine in his hitting style, but you can see him fitting in a lot of different places. And right now, just the way the Tigers system works out, really what the Tigers' needs are at the major league level, center field is the most logical place at this point. So it's he really has a fit there. It's just a question of whether he can sit there and hold his own now or whether it'd be best to wait until midseason or maybe even give him closer to a full season down in Toledo.
Where do things stand with Ghost? Obviously, he got into a scrap with Lloyd McClendon in AAA last year, and McClendon is now on the big league staff as hitting coach, returned to the Tigers. So what's the situation there with Ghost?
They say it's water under the bridge, as Brad Ausmus put it. It remains to be seen. You don't usually hear of run-ins like that between players and managers at the AAA level. It was really surprising when it happened, and it really says something that it was serious enough that they moved Ghost down to AA to finish out the year, and he didn't even come back. They're going to have to rectify that, you know, because McClendon's a hitting coach, and he's really going to have a crucial role on this team if it's going to have success. You know, we talked about it last week, the challenges he faces in trying to get more consistency out of this lineup and out of the hitters. The veteran hitters who've worked with him before like him a lot, so I don't think he's going anywhere. It's going to be up to Ghost to kind of mend this and make his case to get his old job back. He didn't hit well last year. He really hasn't shown any signs of hitting consistently, but he's also a guy who, you know, you at least would hope that with more and more time, he can get a little bit more confidence in himself and feel like he knows who he is as a hitter. I'm not sure I know who he is as a hitter, but maybe somebody else does. We'll see. He certainly has the speed and athleticism to make it work in center field, but he's got to put it together to match baseball skills.
Elsewhere in the free agent spectrum, you know, we talked about Austin Jackson, of course, but Coco Crisp, Desmond Jennings, Colby Rasmus is an intriguing bounce-back candidate. I don't know if he'll be in the Tigers' price range when all is said and done. Peter Borges, Michael Bourne had a strong finish to 2016 in Baltimore. Any of those names stand out?
You know, Desmond Jennings is right around that age range and right at that point in his career where you wonder if there's a setup for a rebound in him. He's also a Boris client, I believe, as is Michael Bourne, or at least he was. So those aren't necessarily automatic cheap options there. Certainly Rasmus, you wonder, given the production he was able to provide despite the struggles, you know, whether he would be somebody to commit for $2 million or less. It might be a little bit of a surprise if he does. Coco Crisp, he was a good center fielder once upon a time. Age has kind of taken some of the energy out of his legs, as you would expect for somebody, you know, heading into their late 30s, but he's certainly somebody who has the know-how. Peter Borges, if you look at center field at Comerica Park as the type of position and the type of surroundings that require an abundance of speed combined with some instincts, then he might have the best skill set for the role. But the question with him has always been hitting and whether he can hit enough to stay up there. Is there enough of a potential in him at this point in his career to really believe that he could do something more than what a Jennings or some of these other guys could give you, or even Austin Jackson going back to before? There's certainly a lot of options, no surefire ones there, though. You know, at least with Austin Jackson, there's a familiarity factor, and you know he's a positive presence in the clubhouse. I think his clubhouse presence was underrated for the time he was here.
All right, there you have it, the latest from Jason Beck, and I'm sure the Tigers will do something in center field between now and the start of camp, or at least within camp. And Beck's picking Austin Jackson as his pick to click. We'll see what happens. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.